Good afternoon. Well, it's good to be here. It's a joy to participate in this Eucharist with all of you. I love you very much. The scriptures that Brett read just kind of blew me away again this morning. In this chapter 15, it's this chapter about abiding in Christ. And he says, if you abide in me and I in you, and he says that twice. And then later he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. And then the verses that Brett was reading, just as the Father has loved me, I've also loved you, abide in my love. And so we talked about this some recently. We're going to do something a little more than that, but just to remind you that, so is it abiding in him or is it abiding in his love? And the reality is that is the same thing, of course, that's true. That the degree that you abide in his love is the degree to which you will abide in him. Again, every person who's a Christian is in Christ. You've been placed into his life and into his story. That's true about every Christian. That's what makes you a Christian, is because you've now been placed into the very life of Christ. You've been woven into the fabric of his existence, and therefore he into the fabric of your existence. And to abide in him is simply to, like a branch and the trunk, for a branch to simply rest in and receive the life of the vine. To abide in is simply to rest in, receiving by faith the life of the vine in surrendered disposition, allowing the life of the vine to manifest in the fruitfulness of his life. When he talks about fruit in this chapter, he's not so much talking about ministry as he's talking about the very likeness of Christ being manifested in us, the branch, as we restfully trust in him who's the vine. But to the degree that you understand how much he loves you, that you abide in his love is to abide, you'll abide in him. Because this whole thing is by faith, and the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that faith works through love. The more you're convinced that somebody loves you, really loves you, and loves you unconditionally, is the degree as a human you'll trust them. If you're unsure of their loyalty to you, if you're unsure of their love for you, for whatever reasons, then your trust in them will be restricted. That's just the truth that happens. And therefore, that's why it says in Ephesians chapter 5 about husbands and wives, as wives submit to your husbands, the word there is respect. And then, but then he just pours it on about husbands loving your wife, laying your life down. And so it makes it a lot easier for a wife to submit, surrender to her husband if she knows he loves her. He's laying his life down for her. Doesn't mean that she doesn't have to if he doesn't. It just means it makes it a lot easier. It's become spontaneous. Same thing's true with Christ. As he's proven himself to you and his love for you, as you come to understand how much he loves for you, Ephesians says that you're filled with the fullness of God because it's easier for you to abide. You can abide in his love, you can abide in him. And then he says this in verse 10. Well, let me start again at verse 9, because it explains how much he loves you. Just as the Father's loved me, I've also loved you. So do you want to understand how much he loves you? It's how much does the Father love Jesus? Well, that's exactly the same amount that Jesus loves you. That's a lot. If you love me, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Now, earlier in chapter 14, he says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. In chapter 14, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, when he says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he just got through saying, just as the Father's loved me, I've loved you, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So is he saying here that to abide in my love, in other words, is he saying it'll get me to love you if you will keep my commandments? Can't be saying that, because Jesus said, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Did the Father only love Jesus in response to Jesus keeping his commandments? No. So he can't be saying that. So when he says, if you keep my commandments, when he first says, abide in my love, this is how much I love you. I love you as much as the Father does love me. Abide in that love. If you keep my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And these things I've spoken to you, that your joy may be full. So what does that mean? That if I keep his commandments, that's one of the way I abide in his love. There's something about the fact that if I love him, I'll keep his commandments. I know how much he loves me. My obedience is a response of love to his love. And what he's talking about here is the shared, a consciousness, living in a consciousness of shared love. Haven't you ever in your own Christian life, when you know that you've gotten on a roll and you've been really surrendered, there's not been any sketchy patches where you've purposely and intentionally not obeyed him, and there's just this sense of shared love, this consciousness of shared love, you're not keeping the commandments so he'll love you. But he says, in keeping his commandments, because you love him, you'll abide in his love. And there's just this sense, this consciousness that I'm loving him and I'm enjoying his love. And it's just this reality of a relationship that's walking in oneness, that's clicking. You know, it's an interesting thing, that passage in Ephesians chapter 5. What preachers or pastors love to do at weddings is to start with the passage, wives, submit to your husbands, and goes on about all the things you're supposed to do, submit. Then the husbands do this, that, and the other. But the verse right before that says, after being telling you to live a spirit-filled life, stay continually filled with the Spirit, he says, and submit one to another. Wow. Then wives submit to your husbands. And then husbands love your wives. That's interesting. And I thought about like my relationship with Olivia. You know, there were very few times in our marriage when I had to say, Olivia, no, this is what we're going to do. We've talked about it. I get you that you don't agree with me, but this is what we're going to have to do. Now, Olivia always said that if I died first on my tombstone, she would have engraved, I told him I was right. But the reality is about love, it's not like you're demanding your role and you're demanding your role. It's that there's a mutual submission of hearts, just surrendering of hearts to each other. And then there's these roles that you play out, but it starts out with, because you're walking in the Spirit, there's this submission of hearts with each other. That's what the Lord is saying. Is that when you keep his commandments, you're abiding in his love. Just as he says, I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Jesus lived in a consciousness of shared love. He was just submitting himself to the Father, and the Father was submitting himself to Jesus. Like, we're just submitting ourselves to Jesus, and he's submitting himself to us. He's no longer abide. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, I'm just submitting myself to him in love, and he's just living his life out through me, surrendering himself to me in love. A shared consciousness of love. And then he goes on, he says, and these things I've written to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. There's something about experiencing the joy that Jesus lives in when he and I walk in shared love. He finds great joy in that. And what rises up in me, he says, and your joy you made full. Like, I have joy, but my joy often is dependent on this or that or the other. But he says, but your joy, yeah, you will have my joy, and your joy will now be made full. But there is something joyful, isn't there? When you're in a relationship of shared love, you live in a consciousness of shared love, and you're abiding in that. You're just abiding in that, and there's a joy in that. You're not just experiencing the joy that you have, but you're experiencing the joy this person has in this thing. And Jesus said, he said these things so that his joy may be in us and that our joy would be made full. Shared love, shared joy. And that's when the context of the joy of the Lord is our strength. And it all flows in this thing of abiding in Christ, which is really about abiding in his love. I just think that's really fun. Really simple, but so true. I've thought about that a lot, that when in my walk with the Lord, when I'm just, how do I put this? When my will is broken enough, I don't mean that, my spirit broken, my will is so broken that I'm just simply surrendered to his story, that I find him so filling up my story with his story. There's just this shared consciousness of love for each other. It's an amazing thing, and there's a joy that comes with it, and it's bigger than joy of the Lord that fills the room of my life. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.